like to welcome you to another edition of our Anchored in the Word Morning Reflection. Today we're back in 1 John chapter 5, and we're looking at verses 14 to 15 together. So if you have a Bible, I'd like to ask you to take it, and let's turn together to this passage, read it, and just take some time this morning to reflect on the contents of the section. 1 John 5:14, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he heareth us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. We come to this passage, I want to give you a simple summary statement. The purpose is to teach us that confidence that we are Christians will motivate us to come to God as a loving father. And when we come to him as a loving father, it's also going to shape how we approach him in prayer. What we believe about our position in Christ and what we believe about God himself and his nature is that going to really affect the way that we pray. And so let's look at a couple of truths that we find in this passage that are related to this topic and that really show us what we just said there. The first truth is this: John's statement is really a continuation of what he said in the previous passage. And if you remember yesterday, we talked a lot about this concept of assurance. The fact that our ultimate source of assurance that we have eternal life is rooted in the work of Christ. If we're believing on the Son, we have life. Whoever does not believe on the Son does not have life. And so John's continuing this talk or this discussion on this issue of the person who has eternal life. He's talking about, in yesterday's topic that we looked at, he's talking about our primary source of assurance or confidence. Well, one of the things that we see all throughout the book of 1 John is that we go back and forth between primary source and secondary source. When we talk about secondary source, we're emphasizing the fact that there are some factors that are internal that really affect whether or not I feel strongly I'm confident of my position in Christ. He's going to talk about one of those secondary issues. It's not insignificant. It's actually extremely significant. And he's talking about how we relate to God in prayer. Do we relate to him as a father who loves us, who we have confidence that he's listening to us or not? That's really what he's getting into. And so in verses 13 and 14, he talks about the fact that we have our position rooted in Christ. And now he's talking about the experiential side of that confidence. He says, we can know that we know him. That's experiential. And that's rooted in the fact that, yes, I've believed on the Son, but there's more to it. That more to it is the fact that I actually feel that he is my Father. And I see that because of my interaction with him in this issue of prayer. Let me give you a couple of important observations as we talk about this. The first is this: what we believe about God affects how we feel about him. And not just how we feel about him, but how we approach him, how we relate to him. In other words, I may have a theologically correct understanding of God. In other words, if you ask me a question, doctrinal question, I can give you a doctrinal answer that's consistent with what the Bible teaches. But do I actually believe it in a practical way? In other words, when that belief, that statement, that proposition is put to the test, does the way that I respond to my circumstances really indicate I believe it or not? What we believe in that sense is going to affect how we feel about God and how we relate to him. The second thing is this: our experience as Christians is really linked through our emotions, our actions, and our beliefs. So it's not just what I know in my head, but it's also how I feel about what I know in my head. And it's also about my experience. And so the Christian that knows the truth and acts on the truth and puts the truth to the test is a Christian who's going to have an experience that is more vibrant, and therefore he's going to have a stronger sense of confidence. So we see that our emotions, our beliefs, and what we do, they're all interconnected. But where do those things ultimately go back to? They go back to doctrine, what the Bible teaches about God and us and the nature of the Christian life. And so how we feel and what we think and the way that we respond, all of that goes back to doctrine. And then the third is this. It really takes us full circle back to what John says at the beginning of the book. When John opens up his letter, this is what he says: that which we've seen and heard, we declare unto you, that you may have fellowship with us. Truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. These things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. And what's so interesting is he's talking about doctrine, he's talking about relating to God, and he talks about the emotional side, joy that is full. You see, all three of those things come together when we talk about this topic. And so when we talk about confidence of our position, there is an experiential aspect to this that really is connected to what we believe in our heads, how we relate to those truths, and how we feel as a result of those things. The second truth we're going to look at is this. God is a loving Father. If you're a Christian, if you've placed your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, God is your Father. You can come to him as a child comes to their daddy. And that's extremely important. Look at what it says in verses 14 and 15. This is the confidence that we have in him. That's a position. If we ask anything according to his will, and by the way, if I'm asking something according to God's will, that means that I understand who he is, what he wants. In other words, I come to him and I ask of him things that I know are consistent with his character, consistent with his nature, consistent with his goodness and his holiness and his righteousness. If we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. It means he's listening. He's attentive to us. And why is he attentive? Well, he's attentive because we are his children and he's our Father and he's good. He then goes on to say this, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of him. Maybe another way to put that is, we know because we know his character. We know because of our position. We know that he's listening. And because this is something that's consistent with his nature, we know that he's going to respond appropriately. We have confidence. Really what this passage is telling us is that the Christian who is confident of their position, who knows God, who's praying in a way that's consistent with God's character, is going to approach God with a confidence that God will answer his prayer. That's really what he's saying. So notice how we break this down. This is the confidence. In other words, we feel that we have the liberty to speak freely to God. We can come to him as a child would come to their father. That we have in him. We feel this freedom because we're in the position of being a child. We are his child through the work of redemption in Christ. If we ask anything according to his will, we understand that prayer is not a means to manipulate God. In other words, I don't see it as a tool to force God to do something that's evil or something that I want, but he doesn't want. We see prayer as a way of appealing to God and then recognizing that when he answers, he's the one who did it, not us. He hears us. It means his heart is compassionate towards us. He listens to the requests of his children. And then we know that he hears us. And whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions we desire of him. We know that since God listens to the prayers of his children, that means he's heard us. He's going to answer according to his will. He's going to answer in a way that is according to his wisdom and consistent with his character. We have that confidence. So I want you to notice how we have a father-to-child relationship with God. He's responsible to take care of his children. This is interesting. When I come to God in prayer, one of the reasons that I do it is because I say, hey, as your child, you created me and you have a responsibility to meet the needs of your children. He does that. I think about the fact that he not only has the responsibility, but he's going to do it. God's character is going to demand that he actually takes care of his children. His wisdom means he's going to do it in the very best way possible. His goodness means that God's only going to do what is right. And you know, God is the ultimate one who takes care of us in these ways. He's our Father, and that's so important for us to remember. The third truth I want us to notice is this. We need to pray to God like he's our Father. Okay, it's not just that he is our Father, but the way that we come to him should reflect the way that a child comes to a parent. In fact, I want you to think about the way that Jesus teaches his disciples to pray. When we go to Matthew 5, 6, and 7, they say, Jesus, teach us to pray. And what does he say? Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be your name. And he talks about how they are to pray to God as Father. We go to Matthew 6, verses 5 through 8. He says you need to pray to God as your Father. Don't be like the hypocrites who like to use prayer as a means to get people's attention and make them think that they're basically, I don't know, a very spiritually minded person. Don't use vain repetition like it's a tool that you can manipulate God. But he says when you pray, say that your Father knows that you have need of things and he's going to take care of it. Matthew chapter 6 talks like that. In Matthew 7, when he talks about the fact that we need to be careful in how we judge people, he says you need to come to God and ask him for wisdom. And he says, if you ask, it will be given you. And he says that we need to recognize that God is going to take care of us like a father would take care of his children. In fact, he says, if your father would give good things to his children, and he's not a perfect person, how much more would your father in heaven do the exact same thing? We need to remember that God is our father, and so we should approach him in that kind of a way. So when we come to God in prayer, I want to encourage you, let your position as a Christian be the thing that ultimately motivates you to come to God, and let it shape the way that you come to God. And I also want to add this. When a Christian prays and God answers his prayer, and when a Christian prays and they see the goodness and the kindness and the mercy and the wisdom and the power of God, do you know what that ultimately does? It strengthens that sense that I'm a child of God. It doesn't make them a child of God, okay? The fact that they feel strong or not is not ultimately what determines whether or not they're a child of God. It's the work of Christ. But their confidence of their position is strengthened by the way that God deals with them when they pray. And so when we come to this passage of Scripture, we need to recognize what we believe about God affects how we pray. And it ultimately affects whether or not we feel this sense of confidence in the position that God has placed us in through the work of Christ. I hope that this has been a challenge and encouragement to you. And if it has, perhaps share that. And I'll look forward to seeing you guys next week. We won't be recording over the weekend, but I do hope that you have a wonderful weekend. Let's bow together for a word of prayer. Father, thank you for the opportunity to study this little passage together and to be reminded that we should approach you as a child would approach their father, a father who is good, who is all wise, who has an abundance of resources that are absolutely unlimited, a father who knows what is best for us. Help us to have confidence when we come into your presence, and help the confidence of our position in Christ even to be strengthened as we relate to you as a child to a father and we see your fatherly care in our lives. I pray that you'll bless each person that's been able to watch this video this morning. May it be an encouragement to them. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen. All right. Well, it's been good to see each of you this morning. I hope that you have a great rest of your day. I know it's kind of a dreary day, but I do want to remind you, if you're one of our college and career folks at Anchor, we're going to have volleyball tonight, Lord willing, as long as it's not raining when we're supposed to be coming together. And I hope you have a great weekend. Bye now.